All right. Hello, 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 everyone. I am Nika Sherrell, and this is the ITCast Real Talk on Sex. The ITCast is our community outreach podcast that increases diversity in conversations on health and sexuality. Through this work, we are creating a world where all people feel loved, honored, and respected. We have some events coming up this season. Check out The Chase coming November 4th through 7th. The Chase is a wonderful, lovely kink event that happens out in the woods. Go check it out. It's really lovely. You can learn more at thechase.pet. We also have the Global Sexual Health and Freedom Summit. That event has been postponed until February 4th and 5th, 2023. We do have the early bird tickets coming soon, so RSVP to find out more at sexhealthsummit.com. If you want to get one-on-one coaching with me, you can visit my link tree to book a free connection session. It'll be a great time for us to just sit down and get to know each other and see how I can serve you. We also want you to ask us anything. We want to hear from you. Please post your comments and your questions in the chat. If you have anything you want to ask in advance, you can also find the link to the form on the link tree as well. Okay, definitely. This is the fun part, y'all. You want to get access to our bonus content on Patreon. We do a little pre-chat, we do a little post-chat, and you just get to spend some time hanging out with me and the guest. And there's a whole lot of other goodies on there too. So definitely check us out on our Patreon at Nika Sherrell, and then subscribe to this YouTube channel and share with your community. All right, we're going to dive in. This week's topic is Real Talk on the Erotic Arts. In the booth today, we have Redbone. Redbone is an internationally known, Minnesota grown, and one of the biggest names in burlesque. She began traveling the world as one of the Wham Bam Thank You Ma'ams backing up the infamous Foxy Tan in her quest for world domination in 2005. Redbone has featured at Viva Las Vegas Rockabilly Weekend, is the 2019 reigning princess of burlesque of the Miss Exotic World Competition at the Burlesque Hall of Fame Weekender in Las Vegas in 2016 through 2022. In Las Vegas during 2016 to 2022, they made their 21st Century Burlesque Magazine top 50 most influential figures. All right, Redbone, join us on the show.
Hi.
How you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling good. Happy Friday.
Thank you. Happy Friday. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and why you chose to do the show.
So you said quite a bit. Yes, I am an international burlesque entertainer, as well as producer and MC. I also make a product called Glam Jam, which is an all natural glitter stick. I have been a burlesque entertainer since 2005. Most recently I've been focusing on producing, I've produced quite a bit throughout the years. Nudie Newbies being one of the major productions, starting in Minneapolis and then branching out to San Francisco. But most recently I produce Moist, which is an all black erotic cabaret taking place at Oasis quarterly.
Nice, nice.
And other stuff, but I'll keep talking if you don't stop me. So
love it, love it, love it. And we're definitely going to dive into why those spaces are so important and, you know, what they mean inside of the realm of erotic arts. So let's talk about what that term means. Like, we got a gamut in that realm. So yeah, what are we talking about when we say erotic arts?
Well, I'm very much a believer that like the erotic at its simplest form is your spark of life. What is the thing that makes you get up in the morning that like excites you every moment, right? Like when you feel that like, ooh, like that's the erotic. And I do believe that it's connected to our sensuality, and it expands into everything that we do, how we exist. It's like, it's where we came from, and also where we need to continue to remind ourselves to be in and move forward, kind of to something we were talking about earlier, but for that real like holistic living.
Yeah. So like, I love that sort of like the eroticism. I mean, it starts with the sensuality and the connection to the self. So like being inspired, I mean, being inspired to create, you know, whether it's, whether you look at it as it, erotic isn't sexual, no? Like.
I think in essence, not real. Like, again, it's like, it is, it's that spark, it's birth. It's that seed of, you know, inspiration, you know, for other, you know, other words to, assimilate with it. You know, it's juice, endorphin, like all the little like boops.
Yeah. The passion, the
tinglies and stuff.
Yeah. The tinglies. That's a good word. and I love that, you know, like the tinglies may not always be like sexual tinglies, but it is that like what is coming out of us. We talked a bit about like sexuality. Well, I'm like sexuality not being hidden, but also I'm like still stuck on this not being a sexual thing.
It's quite interesting. And I'll say, I mean, what I can speak to is my experience of like refinding my, like the erotic within me, you know, post or pre-pandemic, I was very, like, not that I'm not goal-oriented now, but very goal-oriented, very task-oriented, very like action without having intention or not being fully connected to myself and understanding what my actions are doing. Logically I did, right? But was it coming from within, right? Like, was I feeling the intention? And so in a way, performative, but not necessarily in a negative connotation. I don't think everything I did was very positive, but all that to say is that I was unintentionally trying to be all things to all people in terms of burlesque and production is what I'll speak to specifically. And once the pandemic hit, everything shut down, it was like, who am I? And so very much was based so much of my worth on my productivity and actions and what I was putting out in the world in that sense, and not necessarily artistically. And so self, you know, all the questions of self of worth, what am I doing and why am I doing this? And so all that to say, you know, I very much had to get reconnected myself and had the time to do it. had the time to do it. I was not, you know, as burlesque and performing arts, nightlife, everything, as everything shut down. While we did have the Zoom platform, it does not have the same connectivity as in-person interactions, right? Which that's just like, that's a whole other beast on its own. And anyway, so to refinding my erotic, getting reconnected with my body as dance is part of my erotic, or how I understand myself. I consider dance as like my first language. And I think for most of us as humans, I mean, we like make sounds and stuff, but we don't learn to speak and utilize words and stuff until later, right? But movement, our first communication is in the physical, and whether it's like pointing or movement, you know, so dance, I think, is everyone's first language.
I like that.
Yeah. And, you know, so I spent a lot of time in meditation, journaling, asking myself lots of questions, a ton of conversations with myself, reading, And actually, it was that. It was, bell hooks and Audre Lorde. You know, like those were two key authors that I really based a lot of my healing in. Like, right. I was like, oh, you know, and getting reconnected with myself. And they, you know, they speak to the erotic quite a bit. Like, obviously, maybe not obvious for some people. I didn't. I was one of the ignorant ones. Like, wait, who? And then I was like, oh, right.
go look them up. Like, real love bell hooks.
Yeah.
So one of the things I'm hearing is that, like, before the pandemic, like, or even just earlier in life, it was very logical, you know, like knowing the actions and what the, like, what's happening both in your world and in whomever is experiencing you, but like the embodiment came later is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Or the understanding of the embodiment, because I think that, I mean, well, I was passionate, like in this, I was passionate. I knew I wanted to dance. I knew I wanted to travel. And like, those are the things that came up from within. Like, I knew here, those are the things that I was going to do in life. Could I identify, and I, you know, would say passion, right? But, and also, well, that's really the erotic coming out and speaking and embodiment, which, yes, so the understanding didn't come until later. Being okay with listening to it, and or I had shut it off at one point. Like, it wasn't about because it drove me anymore. It was because career, like, so the logical aspects of success and like all these other things.
Right. No, that's real. And when I think about, like, you're talking about dance being one of our first languages, dance is so embodied, you know, like you can do it from a logical place. That's 100%. But when you're feeling it and allowing it to move you, there's a completely different relationship. So yeah, like,
and that's the life force. That's the erotic. That's like spirit, you know, the spirit, that holistic mind, like, I mean, even forget mind for a second, you know, that body spirit connection, you know, that manifests. And like, if you can just like not think about it until later, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Just let it take you.
Let it take you. Absolutely. Yes.
And like, I have the experience that it's really hard to let go of that, like, control aspect of, it has to look a certain way. I have to be perfect about it or whatever it is. It keeps us from just being in the flow of it and letting it carry you away. So I think that's huge. And looking at that, it's like that, why we don't do it, how wrapped up that is in taboo. You know, and like, we're not supposed to do it. We're not supposed to feel this way or express things like this. Like, it feels actually just very disconnected and shut down from who we are in our being.
And I mean, so much of that is due to monetization, which is another difficulty of, I think, a lot that we want to do as human beings. And then I'll speak to myself. Understanding that, like, once you lean into monetization with it, how do you hold on to the purity of that force, which is like the difficult balance, right? Keeping intentions intact and not forgetting self and the love and compassion, and all while continuing to build community, you know, intentionally build community. And you're also talking about money. A lot of the times in my career.
Yeah.
Which also then comes to like attaching worth to money and all these other things. So it's, whew.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah, I hear it. You know, it's that, you know, being like, money being attached to it, your worth being attached to value and money, and then also that being attached to sexuality and where that leads. You know, like the capitalist aspect. I certainly don't want to offend anybody out there, but first off, I'm a freak. Like, just right. Nothing wrong with it. And when I started letting my freak flag fly, some people were like, oh, well, why don't you get paid to do that? People get paid a lot of money to do that. You should do that. And for me, it was an exploration, you know, more so than it was something that I wanted to do for hire. You know, it's like, I respect people who are in that space. And I mean, like going hard, taking classes, learning how to be with people. Like there are people in that space who really know 100% what they're doing. And I'm just exploring who I am and allowing some of my deeper and quote unquote darker places to show, but like allowing them to be and exist. And I think that that, you know, that gets separated when we look at like, you know, like these archetypes of who people are and what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. It, the ability to just enjoy it gets lost. Like, I want to take pole dancing classes. I probably will.
Yeah, word.
Right. And like for the experience of it, to be able to just feel it. And I know that there's a lot in that space. So just looking at the disconnect between, you know, like the taboo and eroticism.
So I have been involved. I've been a club stripper. So I'm a burlesque entertainer, but I've been a club stripper. I've been a phone sex operator. I have OnlyFans, right? So I'm in the field of sex work, considerably more like sex work adjacent and or on the like vanilla Tahitian vanilla end of sex work, if you were to categorize stuff, right?
Some sprinkles.
Well, sentiments, you know what I'm saying? You know, I am not a full service sex worker at this time, and though have, right? So have experience in, but it's not my full time. So to that, like I've had experience in the monetization of the erotic and or selling sex and or desire, fantasy, et cetera. And now, similar to you, while that exists, and or has existed, I also am in that space of exploration for self. And while sure, I have thoughts of like, oh, I might want to be a pro dom in the future, right? Like, right, like it's a thought, and it like whispers out here. But the reality of like, but I need to know myself to the utmost to be able to do all that. And regardless, aside from that, like just how much embracing the erotic and exploring kink and play has allowed me to grow in a particular way. And more understanding of humanity is a huge thing. And right, it allows for a certain space to be like, I don't know, it's a certain amount of compassion. It's like learning about compassion and compersion and all these things about just seeing pure joy in other people and being able to hold space for that for others. And how much that brings me joy. Like, oh, this is why I actually, it's not about the money. This is actually why I do it.
Right.
You know?
Right. So like, the money is it's a symptom. It's a good symptom. And you know, like allow it to be, but you're right. It's like that, you know, to be able to, how can I serve someone and how can I serve them powerfully? I want us to rewind just a second.
Sure.
Can you define compersion for our listeners? Right.
I'm gonna do my best. well, from my understanding, because I'm fairly new to this term as well, but is it brings me joy to see other people experience joy. And if it was in a sexual situation, like my partner, seeing him go on a date And like the joy that it brings him to be with this other individual brings me joy, because I'm like, oh my gosh, look how happy he is, you know, look, and like, and that brings me joy, right? So
Yeah.
How'd I do?
No, that was great. Okay. That was perfect. And you know, what I love about it is, like, plain and simple, it's the antithesis of jealousy. You know, to not be jealous or envious of your partner or, you know, anybody else. Like, for me, I also hear it as like, don't be a hater. Like, if we just want to take it all the way down, like, it's easy to see someone else doing well. And I'll speak for myself. I'm like, I see somebody doing well and I'm like, I ain't doing like why they gotta be having success or whatever it is. And I'm like, oh, I'm judging them and not looking at me. And really I'm judging the things in them that I don't want to acknowledge over here. So
that, yes, that part. And I think that's the biggest question that I'm learning about jealousy. Like, that's the first thing. Wait, why am I jealous? Oh, it really has nothing to do with them. That has to do with me and where I'm at in my life. Right. And so us unlearning jealousy, mm-hmm. right? Like, that is a top behavior due to scarcity mindset, due to haves and have nots, the comparative. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite sayings is to compare is to despair, right? If we start looking at other folks and being like, oh, why don't I look like that? Or why don't I diss that, you know, right? Like, that is going to create a disparity within ourselves that doesn't need to exist, right? So it's like, just let's not do that. I noticed Betty yes. had a question, right? I don't believe, so does it always need to be a third party? Wait, was that specifically party person? Oh, person. Yeah. No, I don't think it necessarily. I do think that it is. It doesn't necessarily need to be a person. Like, for example, again, like, I'm going to go to my partner. Like, my partner has a podcast as well, right? Deaf Perspective, FYI, shout out. Anyway. Go for it. And so it's like, it brings me joy to hear him talk about the story that he was researching or the conversation that he had with so-and-so. So I'll say that I don't necessarily think it needs to be sensual or sexual. I think it's whatever sparks joy in another person, but that also could be like their own workout. They had a really great workout and it's like, oh, I love hearing you talk about how much whatever brought you joy.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know. What do you think?
Okay. No, I think that's perfect, spot on. Like, it can be very easy to be jealous of, you know, like, I think that it correlates to partner here, you know, whether it's one or multiple partners, but the idea of like, I'm perhaps jealous of your new job, or, you know, I'm perhaps jealous of the time that you're spending, you know, getting enrichment, like you said, like, whether it's taking a class or, you know, like having a bubble bath to yourself. If I don't feel like I can be a part of that and that upsets me, then I think that's exactly what you're talking about. It's like, I can't see you being happy. And it's mm-hmm. a psychological thing. It's an underneath thing, but, you know, it's real. And I think this is great because it encompasses the conversation around the erotic arts. Like, what do you do if you feel a certain way about your lover going to the strip club or being at a burlesque show or, you know, anything, any other form of.
Join them. Be a part of it. that's what my answer to it is, just join in on the experience.
yes. But, mm-hmm. I just told two stories last night about my favorite times at strip clubs. That was wonderful. For the record, be the woman in the strip club. You'll get a lot of extra attention. Go for it. You'll have the most fun. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and it's, you know, to be able to see your partner having that kind of fun is just, I think it's really beautiful because it can become a fun thing that's done together, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah. Also, like, I mean, and there's the communication around it too. Sorry, I'm like looking at the chat.
Yeah, no worries. We got a comment in here. Hey, bro. And you were talking about comparisons. And one of the things I love about burlesque is the acceptance of all body types. I could see myself there.
Absolutely. Burlesque, and it's that burlesque is for everybody, you know, everybody. So, and it's, oh my gosh, I'm like, where to start about burlesque? Okay. So, I live life in the lens of burlesque. So I really am like, everything is burlesque. But, absolutely. And it's so interesting to watch it evolve in so many ways. Like for those that don't know, like we wouldn't have current day strip clubs if it wasn't for burlesque. You know, we're cousins. It's very much rooted, like quick history. It was the burlesque show, and in the broad term of burlesque, it was essentially like vaudeville variety show, right? Yeah. Then with the dancing girls. So the burlesque dancers were then just called like the dancing girls. And there was chorus line, then there was the headliner that was the dancing girl, right? Well, as economics happened, they started taking certain elements away from said burlesque shows, and it became just the dancing girls. Then the dancing girls, you know, again, economics, it wasn't like, well, we can't do the large costumes or whatever, right? So then costumes got slimmed down. So then it was less and less. Then it made, again, I think there was the realization of like, oh, sex sells, right? Like that started to happen. So then it became more about the nudity and less about like the artistic components of the striptease. And so more about the nudity, more, purely like the female form, but then also then evolved into sex shows and so on. Then of course there was like a huge dip in stuff. And while burlesque in its like classic form still existed, it was far in between. And a lot of the OG burlesque dancers did their, you know, with the times, they're like, okay, they became strippers, right? So then the evolution of becoming strippers came in. Fast forward in the late 90s, mid to late 90s, like burlesque never went away, but there was definitely a resurgence in the 90s. So then that became our neo burlesque wave. New burlesque, where a lot of those folks were in performance art and or were really looking to the heyday of burlesque. And so those classic elements started to come back, whether that was boas, feathers, or feather fans, gloves, things like that, panel skirts, which there was a particular era in the strip club that became kind of popped up in that same time with the feature dancer.
Okay.
Right. So the feature dancer came back to the strip club. It was both either porn star that would come and feature at the strip club or a strip club dancer that was using classic burlesque elements. And so then therefore they were a featured dancer at the strip club. But then I mean, and that's more like in the industry, in the kind of community component of stuff, there was a lot of performance artists that were using these classical burlesque elements in their art and or, yeah, I guess that's about it. Then, not that's about it, right? But then it's that. Then there were more pops. You started to see it like kind of all over the country, the neo movement. In terms of noticing it was definitely like LA, San Francisco, New York, Minneapolis. There was a pocket in Canada. And then like, of course, New Orleans, where it never really went away there. Right. But kind of, And so, oh, and then Seattle, right? So like generationally, then they all started to come together or finding each other on like Yahoo groups and AOL Messenger and like all that stuff, right? So I'm
Oh,
showing
you
my age here. I know,
dating
dateless. They found each other through, you know, whatever kind of chat things, you know, that we had in
Ooh, Black
the
Planet.
90s. You know, oh my God. Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah, and that's to say, and actually I'm glad you said Black Planet because I think that they're what is interesting today is specifically the kind of the history of Black burlesque being left out of a lot of the conversations in the earlier days. Well, there were several Black burlesque entertainers, OG OGs like 1920s things and moving forward, 1800s even, all that, and even into today, we're still learning so much about our Black burlesque history. Yeah, and I'll stop there because then I feel like that's gonna shift into a whole nother thing. So I don't know if.
So Daniel asks, are there more steps to getting rid of jealousy?
More steps to getting jealous. I mean, it's okay. I'm not a professional here, like, but what I can say for myself, how I can see too, is I personally, it's like the first step is asking myself, why am I jealous, right? And really parsing through and looking all those parts of like, okay. Ask and having conversations with myself. This is a lot of my journaling processing of like, why do I feel this way? Right. And so I think a big thing, like, so instead of initially, I have a rule where I take 48 hours to process something. And generally it's like specifically if it was jealousy, it's like, okay, that 48 hours to get through of, okay, why? Why did it hit me in a particular way? Oh, okay, is it because, like, for example, this is something me and my partner went through. He went on a date and I was really excited about his date. And then he went on the date and he Marco Polo'd me and was like, oh my gosh, it was so fun. And I could see like the light in his eye and like, and I was like, oh, he was really excited about this date. Right. And then I was like, that's great, honey. I'm going to take some time to process my feels and I'll talk to you later, right?
Yep.
And I took a look at it and it's like I realized in myself fear of loss, right? Which okay, then I had to really ask myself, am I really afraid of losing this situation? And or can I come to a logical point of like, okay, if I did lose this relationship, you know, what's the silver lining around it? Right. Like, and really like coming to a particular piece within self of like, well, I don't know the future and I don't know what any situation's going to be, but can I have enough faith in myself and or the experience that I've gotten what I was supposed to receive out of said situation? Right. Like, this is the lesson the universe wanted me to learn. Like, okay, cool. You know, what is the other thing? I'm like, I was comparing. Oh, she a cute little light-skinned Black girl too. Right? Oh, wait. That's fine. She is really great. And like, and so then started to be like, she is really cute. And oh, I would date her and like come into this space of like, okay, what if he wasn't even involved? How would I feel about her? You know, and so I guess a little mix of like fantasizing, I don't know, but again, just kind of creating some peace around that relationship and or possibility of her and I having a relationship, right? And then being able to come back to to him and have the conversation like I was having some feels, but I'm really happy you had such a good day and I look forward to hearing more. Keep me posted, you know? I also have heard this of like some other tips are like to like feeling secure in said relationship in regards to the jealousy of like going back and reminding yourself of times that you guys had together, right? Like looking at pictures or reminiscing on certain experiences, as well as assisting the partner get ready for said date. So then you kind of feel a part of it if that's something that like was is in that agreement, you know, which is that's the whole other thing is like what are the agreements, what are the conversations that are being had in said relationship?
That one's huge. You know, I know a lot of people where, you know, the communication's different. There are people who want to know all the everything, all the details. And there are people who are like, I know what's happening. I don't want to hear about it. Like this is us. And you know, like I'm happy for you. And also I don't need details. And so like, you know, everyone is different. And, you know, what I've experienced is there's a commitment to not being jealous. 'Cause like it comes up several times over, you know, it's part of the natural way in which we were taught, you know, culturally. And you know, there are shifts happening, but really it's a practice of committing to not be that, and then also letting go of attachments. You know, like you were saying with you know, like being attached to any particular outcome, that's the easiest way to experience disappointment. And also that possessiveness over someone, in my experience, can very much push them away. You know, like we think that love is a lot of, like sometimes we think that love is jealousy and possessiveness. That's how it's acted out.
I'm so happy I'm 40. That's what I can say. I'm like, I'm so happy I'm 40 and that I don't believe that anymore. Like that I have a greater understanding. I do, yes.
But like, but that's the
But that's
that's
wrong.
yep, some
That's
bad
how we
truth.
learned. There
Okay.
was something you said that I quickly there's a term that has really assisted me of wait, I'm gonna come back to it because I have to look it up. So there's two things, is that there's this workbook. Wait, say something. I'm gonna go get this workbook really quick because I want to show you. It's a jealousy workbook that
Oh, I love it.
My homie Brickhouse was suggested because I was like, I'm nervous that I'm gonna get jealous. And so I was like preparing myself. I haven't used the workbook yet, but I have it if something extreme happens. So I'm gonna go grab that.
Yes,
Okay.
tools. I love this, tools.
Tools.
And I just wanted to double back to a comment that Redbone made a few minutes ago about, you know, like, yeah, she's a cute light-skinned girl and the other girl's a cute light-skinned girl. And I was like, oh, look at that, where you have to have that level of self-acceptance, you know, seeing the similarities and not getting hung up on, you know, what could make you envious of them that you have in yourself. So, and like the beauty of it, like the beauty you have in yourself, not the garbage or whatnot.
Oh, okay, so
The Jealousy Workbook, Exercises and Insights for Managing Open Relationships. Let me get it. There we go. Catherine Labriola. All right, we're gonna get some information about that in the chat so that y'all can understand and have resources so that you can grow in how you sex. There we go. That's a good word.
yes. And I'm trying to, I was like, where was that term I wanted to say? It's like letting go of the, I like added it to my, I'm sorry, this is taking so long. I don't mean to eat up time, but it's something that is like, where is it?
No, it's
I'm mad I can't find it quickly right now.
well,
I like wrote it. Please go ahead, continue.
No worries. If we don't get it on the show, we'll get it in the after chat, and we'll make sure to get the resource and the quote, if we can, into the chat so that everyone watching can be with it and, you know, really get what they need.
Detach from the agony of involvement. And I feel like that could be seen in so many ways, but like, so personally, I'm like, detach from the agony. So, because you were talking about like attachment, mm-hmm. right? And so oftentimes we have, I think that we have attachment to the agony, right? To the like, right? So if you can separate and detach yourself from that agony, that involvement can sometimes bring us, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, detach from the agony of involvement.
Yeah. I like that. It reminds me, I'm taking these acting classes and they're all like very emotionally based. So there are these things that come up for us, and the teacher's like, one of the things that happened, I had this moment come up and the teacher was like, oh, you like judging yourself. And I was like, huh? No. And he was like, just sit with that for a minute, you know, see if anything in there is real. And I was like, oh my God. Like, it was so deeply real. Like, I spend so much time in that space, and it's a way to deflect the love that's available. And so when I stop judging myself for those things and I start loving myself for those things, the agony is gone, but that new space is quite uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like getting comfortable with the uncomfortability.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. I ain't gonna say compersion's not, it's like that in the beginning, given the context that I was raised in. It's very much like, okay, I have to get comfortable with being comfortable enough in myself to know that whoever I'm with loves me for who I am, and that's not gonna change no matter how they feel about somebody else and who they are.
Right. So. And we have to love ourselves enough. That's, I think, is so huge about like getting into open relationships or living particular lifestyles. Like, I feel like, again, I'm like a lifestyle newbie. So, but the things that I'm learning, it's like, if I hadn't have done a lot of the work and continue to do certain work in terms of like holding myself in particular ways, there's no way I'd be able to do this, right? Like, it hurt people, you know what I mean? And so, you know, healing stuff around that so that I can't, you know, in living my authentic self and acceptance and self in so many ways, and making peace and continuing to explore that stuff so as to have growth and enrich our lives in expansion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. I think we tackled that one pretty good. Tag team.
Woo. Yeah. Look it. We were there. I was like, look, we therapizing now.
Hey. Okay. So I want to circle back to one of them spots. She was like, ooh, that's a big one. Black people being left out of the conversation with burlesque or being portrayed in a particular way. You know, like there's the whole gamut of ways in which Black people have been represented over the years and ways in which we've been left out. So I think this is a great space to talk about that and to hear about some of your events and the spaces you're creating.
Awesome, thank you. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, so yes, I think that we have been left out of particular conversations, and in the same time, we've been busy doing the thing, so maybe not even having time for the conversation, right? But it's unfortunate when that isn't seen,
right?
And so, and I think that's you know, obvious. I don't speak for all Black people, but I feel like that is a thing. We're too busy doing the thing to talk about the thing.
That's fair. What is it? Be about it, don't talk about it. Is that,
yeah, be about it, don't talk about it. And so I've always very much been like, you know, I speak through action, right? Like, so all that to say is that like the Black burlesque community nationwide has been prominent, but maybe not necessarily seen as much due to other people not talking about it and or ourselves, which I do think we're coming into a space again that it is becoming more prevalent and people are becoming more aware. And other folks are, no, I'm not going to talk about other folks. Anyways, I started with Foxy Tan, who is another Black burlesque entertainer. And even prior to us, there was Harlem Shake burlesque based out of the Bay Area. A lot of Boutte and Teresa.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, a lot of Boutte, right? A lot of Boutte. Like, also, you know, play scene, leather scene, kink scene, mm-hmm. OG. Teresa, who, and I'm feel like such an asshole right now, because I'm excited about talking about it, that I'm not. Simone De La Ghetto.
Okay.
Simone De La Ghetto is her burlesque name. And she, along with another individual, was the one who started Harlem Shake Burlesque. And so they there was also Brown Girls Burlesque happening in New York. And I think they kind of started around the same time. And that was just a few years before Foxy Tan and the Wham Bam Thank You Ma'ams happening in Minneapolis. Then for a few short years, there was also Coco Dupree, who was around for a long time, but she was pretty much the lone Black individual in a all white troupe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was a lot of, then in Canada, we had Coco Frambois. Anyway, some quick neo burlesque. Fast forward, there is Pearl Noir, and a particular individual, and Pearl Noir, who now has the Noir Festival, a POC festival, and has done a lot within the Black and POC burlesque community. But Geez Louise is an individual that I really was drawn to. I had taken a hiatus from burlesque and came back, and I was like, wait a minute, who's this? And similarly, I was like, wow, like we're real similar in terms of performance and like whatever. And so I was just really drawn to her, and in ways that like she was doing a lot of research within Black burlesque. She started a show called Jeezy's Juke Joint in Chicago. Yeah. And it's been going on for like 12 years now. And so then there's a core cast in Chicago, but then also travels. And so she has become a Wham Bam Thank You Ma'am. So there's Foxy Tan and the Wham Bam Thank You Ma'am. So she is like our third now. And as well as she has Juke Joint, which I'm a core member, but like traveling core member, because I'm not based in Chicago, obviously. Like all that to say, she's somebody who was like a peer and also I looked up to. And there has been several Black burlesque shows happening. So I will now fast forward and speak to mine.
And I want to make sure we can get as many of those into the chat or in the comments as possible so that everyone knows how to connect. I think there's also, when I say outside of the conversation, it's like people just don't know. You know, like it's a world that, you know, isn't necessarily the mainstream side of it, isn't necessarily in representation of people of color, Black people specifically. And so like being able to have people know and understand this world and go and just be entertained, I think that's a really big step in that direction. So getting to connect these dots is huge and continue.
Yeah. I've also, What the Funk Festival is another POC festival out there, but Black shows specifically in Seattle, Brick House has one. There used to be Chocolate City Burlesque out of DC. Anyways, there's a wonderful resource called the Brown Pages. Pochop is an individual out of Chicago who started on their website, the Brown Pages, which is a resource for all Black and Brown burlesque entertainers in the country, as well as the Canada, and I think some of Europe. So if you're a Black burlesque entertainer out there and you're not on this resource list, definitely go and fill out your information. And if you're a producer and looking for Black burlesque entertainment, use this resource.
Nice.
There is no excuses anymore. There is literally like no excuses anymore. So people can go to Cyclone Enterprises, which is my production website. When you go there, you have the option of going into me as the artist and then my production page and sign up for the email list, and you'll get notifications of shows that I produce. Prior to the pandemic, like right before shutdown, I did an event called Black Ass Weekend, where we highlighted and promoted Black burlesque entertainment here in the Bay Area. And we had Jeezy's Juke Joint core cast as our guest artists. And so we did a whole weekend. It was 5 shows plus workshops and after parties. And it was, what was that, Thursday through Monday. And so I'm hoping to do that again coming up here in 2023, probably. But currently I produce a show called Moist, which is an all Black erotic cabaret at Oasis. That happens quarterly. And the other event that I have just started is called Strip Club Q. It's an all queer strip club pop-up. Get on the email list. And I'm like in like goals in life, I would love to be able to pair it that whole weekend, like Strip Club Q, Moist, and pair it with when there's an Express Yourself, which is the POC play party that Jet Noir and others curate. So I would love to, you know, have a whole yummy weekend of, yeah.
I like this.
You know, I'm like, let's stack these events. It'll be
yes,
cute.
Yes.
Have a whole weekend of stuff.
I'm going to do what I can to have my Black ass at that Black ass weekend. So yes. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay. So is there any other, and it's the Brown Pages, right?
Yes. Brown Pages.
Okay. Cool.
I was like, let me see if I can grab the link for you.
No worries. No worries. I think Betty might be able to handle that, but, is there anything else that you want to share about your work? Actually, and I'm so sorry, I actually have this one before we wrap up. How does your work impact the world? That's what I want to know. And then anything else that you want to share before we complete?
Ooh, how does my work impact the world? Well, I believe that anybody that partakes in it, it will shift perspective or highlight perspective, assist in embracing one's own desires and sensuality, which inherently shifts them at a molecular level, which improves their life, so they will move forward into the world a much more enlightened individual. Which only, like, it's a contagious thing, you know. Your joy is it becomes infectious, I believe. Yeah. In the positive sense.
No, that's yes. Real, that's real. Like, I'm infected right now, just in case y'all can't see.
Yay, joy.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And you know, the thing that I really appreciate is that you are creating these spaces for people who, you know, like who would enjoy a safe space in which to go. So like, I've been to so many strip clubs, an innumerable amount of strip clubs, I couldn't tell you. And I've never been in a queer, erotic, safe space where like the people were unique, you know, like I have this experience that in that space, it's not like I'm going to see the same template of the same body. Like it can be anybody, you know, bringing who they are and representing who they are. And I think that's beautiful. You know, I think that there's a lot of rigidity in the way that we've approached sexuality. And this is just a way to open it up and love and explore and create.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. I've loved
having you here.
Yes. And everybody out there watching, thank you for tuning into the show. Stick around, go to our Patreon to check out the after chat, which we are headed into right after this. Just to go back to the beginning. The ItCast is our community outreach podcast that increases diversity in conversations on health and sexuality. Through this work, we are creating a world where all people feel loved, honored, and respected. Definitely check out our events coming up this season. We talked about the lifestyle. We talked about kink. So I'm just going to be straight. The Chase at thechase.pet is a lovely kink event where we are going to go out into the woods and dress like animals and play hide and seek. It's the best fucking thing ever. Just wanted to be straight with y'all. One of my favorites. And there's a hot tub. Okay, so the Global Sexual Health and Freedom Summit has been postponed until February 4th and 5th, 2023. We are going to have early bird tickets coming soon. You can RSVP at sexhealthsummit.com. And just a tidbit of additional information, that is a global virtual summit where we're bringing together 14 international speakers to have a conversation on health, sexuality, empowerment, and awareness. So please join us for that. If you want to get one-on-one coaching with me, you can book a free connection section, go through my link tree to the Calendly. We want to hear from you. Thank you for your question today. Thank you for your input, your comments. This has been wonderful. If you want to submit anything before our next show, go to the link tree and feel free to ask us anything. All right, let's see. Again, check out our Patreon, learn more at theitcast.com, subscribe to this YouTube channel, and share with your community. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next week.